I'd like to start this morning by telling a story. In the first century in Israel, there once lived a man named Timaeus. Timaeus, like so many, met a girl, settled down, and had a child. A boy, in fact, the pride of every father in Israel, the joy of every mother. And they had so many hopes and dreams for this son. But something went terribly wrong. The boy began to lose his eyesight. We don't know all the details, we don't know all the circumstances, but he started to go blind. A world of promise out in front of him dimmed. The faces that were once familiar grew dark. The landscape of light turned dim. And the hope of a new day's dawn faded into darkness. Now, at the time, as you can imagine, there weren't a lot of options for this son of Timaeus. No doctors to appeal to, no medicine, no surgery, no school for the blind, no braille, no seeing eye dogs, no ADA standards, no special work programs. So eventually, Timaeus' son took the only profession available to him. He became a beggar. He would live out his day, his every day, asking for handouts, hoping to provide for his welfare from the generosity of strangers. So he set up near Jericho, along a road that led into Jerusalem. So the hope was that there'd be enough traffic on this road to Jerusalem with the various pilgrimages that he could literally make a living by begging. And that's what he did. He sat there day after day, occasionally chatting with some of the other blind men who had gathered there with him, begging, asking, spending his days listening to the world pass him by. But one day he heard a new sound. The son of Timaeus heard a huge crowd walking by. Now, yes, this road was well traveled and he was used to hearing people go by, but he had never heard a huge crowd like this. So many people all together at once passing by, so much commotion, so many footsteps. What was going on? He didn't know it at the time, but his life was about to change. Timaeus' son asked somebody, What's going on? What's all the fuss about? And they said, it's Jesus, the Nazarene. Jesus? The blind man had heard stories about Jesus. They had reached his ears. He had heard about the teaching, incredible teaching, teaching that was in some ways old and familiar, in other ways just sparkling new. It had a certain weight to it that the other teachers didn't have. And the miracles. He had heard the news of the miracles, so many miracles. The lepers made clean. The demon-possessed freed. The sick made well. The thousands fed from just a few loaves of bread. And yes, the healings of the blind. The blind receiving their sight. Could this be his chance? So this son of Timaeus began to do what he knew how to do. He began to beg. and he cried out and begged for Jesus to come to him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, he probably would never say this himself, but he was pretty good at begging. In fact, he was so good, so loud, so persistent, that some of the crowd that was following Jesus actually turned to him and said, "Hey, buddy, could you knock it off? Could you pipe down a bit?" But he thought, what do they know? They've never been blind. They don't know what it's like. Besides, they don't speak for Jesus. So he cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And all of a sudden, the blind man heard a change. The shuffling of feet stilled. Jesus had heard his cry and stopped. And Jesus said, "Call him." So some of the crowd ran back to the man and they said, "Hey, cheer up. It's your lucky day. Jesus is calling you." Well, you didn't have to tell Timaeus' son twice. He threw off his blanket, he leapt up and made his way to Jesus. Jesus looked at him. Timaeus' son waited and listened. And Jesus spoke and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Phew, all right, that's an easy one. Timaeus said, that's an easy one. He said, "I want to see again." And stirred with deep compassion, Jesus touched the blind man's eyes, and immediately he could see. He could see everything. The bright light came into focus. Off in the distance, he could see the city, the skyline coming into focus. He could see the trees, their dappled shade, their leaves rustling in the breeze. He could see the particles of dust in the sunlight. He could see the crowd. Men with beards, women with long hair, young boys and girls nestled around their legs, religious leaders in their fancy garb, outcasts in their tattered clothes. It was quite the crew. And he could see Jesus. And Jesus looked at him. And Timaeus' son looked at Jesus. And Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Now, what would you do at that moment? Would you run off to the bar and buy a round of drinks for everybody? Would you skip down the road, clicking your heels? Would you run home and find all your old friends and family that you could and tell them what happened? Would you start thinking about the new life you could have? A job. You could get married. Have children. What would you do? Well, this son of Timaeus, who was known in Aramaic simply as Bartimaeus, looked at the face of his Savior, his teacher, his king, his Jesus, and thought, "I know what I'll do. That's an easy one. I'll follow him." And he did. I love that story. Bartimaeus is an old friend. We used to read a storybook Bible to our kids, and it would go, "Poor Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus couldn't see the trees. Bartimaeus couldn't see the people." But then Jesus healed him. I love that story. And it appears in Mark 10. Let's read it together. Mark 10, starting in verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Well, in the time remaining, I just want to take a few minutes to consider a couple things. I want to consider Bartimaeus and the example he gives us. He's really the perfect example of a disciple. And then I want us to just consider Jesus. Take a long look at the beautiful image of Jesus we see here. So let's start with Bartimaeus, and then we'll look at Jesus. Bartimaeus comes to us in this story as the perfect picture of discipleship. Now, just to review for just a second, if you've been with us these last several weeks, you know we've been learning about all these challenging teachings about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We've heard all kinds of different topics, and it's been a stretch. Some of the stuff that Jesus has said has been very difficult. He's talked about the great reversal of the first being last and the last first, and how if anyone would follow him, they need to become a servant of all. That's who the greatest is. We've talked about avoiding temptations to sin at all costs. You've got to avoid temptations to sin lest you be led astray. We've talked about receiving the kingdom like a child. You must receive the kingdom like a child. Doesn't matter who you are. Everyone in this room, we must receive the kingdom of God like a child. And then we've learned about the dangers of wealth. We've seen very vividly how wealth can distract and lead someone away from Jesus. So we've had these hard teachings. Some ways that it's been encouraging because we've seen, okay, the kingdom is available to the least and the lowest. It's been encouraging to know that we can get in on this. You don't have to be a king to get the kingdom. But in other ways, it's been a little intimidating. We think about the costs involved here. We think about the requirements he's mentioned. We think about surrendering wealth. We think about becoming like a child. And maybe at this point, as we've read through these different teachings of Jesus, these last couple chapters, we may be wondering, okay, well, what's the composite sketch of this disciple that he's describing? What would this look like? I mean, what are we supposed to picture? And right as we're coming out of this teaching, and we're asking ourselves this question, what would it look like to do all these things? Enter Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is the perfect model of what a disciple looks like. Now, Bartimaeus is not perfect. I'm sure he's a sinner. I'm sure he's a fallen man. I'm sure he does not live up to the glory of God. but he nails discipleship. He is the model disciple. Now just consider for a moment his example. Got a little list up here. I'm going to affectionately call him Bart. Bart is the better two. Remember, Jared taught on the passage of avoiding temptations to sin at all costs, and Jesus said it would be better to lose an eye, but to see the kingdom. Well, now we get a picture of that in a very literal, not so subtle way. Bartimaeus has a physical affliction, but it leads him to spiritual sight. He has a physical affliction, but it's that affliction that draws him into Jesus. And we're left pondering that exchange. When we see Bartimaeus meet Jesus, receive rescue, and follow Jesus, we're left saying, well, maybe it is better to deal with some type of affliction, but to see the kingdom, to get the kingdom. So Bart is the better two. Bart is the unencumbered poor man. Do you remember Jesus meets the young rich ruler, and Jesus calls him. Jesus calls him to follow. But the rich man doesn't do it. Why? We're told because he had great possessions. He was distracted and weighed down by his possessions. But here, what does Bartimaeus do? He flings off his maybe only possession, his cloak, right? No problem. And comes to Jesus immediately. It says he sprang up and ran to Jesus. And we see how easy it is to follow Jesus when we have nothing to lose. Bartimaeus is the last man made first. He's on the outside, isn't he? He's on the roadside. His whole life, he's been on the outside. Someone to ignore, someone to pass by. Then Jesus stops and he calls him. And he goes from the outside to the inside. He goes from the last in line to the first in line. He goes from the outskirts of the crowd to standing front and center before Jesus. You may be wondering, as we read the earlier teachings, what would it look like to have these reversals, first made last? Here we have it. It looks like this. Jesus calling poor, blind beggar and bringing him front and center that he might grant him mercy. Bartimaeus is the childlike receiver of the kingdom. You got to receive the kingdom of the child. What does that look like? Well, here we have Bartimaeus leading the way. He cries out like a child. He's not too proud to beg, right? He's humble. He admits what he needs. He shouts for help and he won't be denied. Again, like a child. Not going to be off-put by a, hey, just wait. No, persistent, like a child. Jesus, have mercy. And when he's called, he gladly goes. Hops up and heads to Jesus. He doesn't hesitate. He leaps up. He's eager to meet Jesus. He has that childlike hope and expectation. And when Jesus asks him what he'd like, he's just like an honest kid. He doesn't give this flowery speech. He doesn't butter up Jesus. He just says, I'd like to see again. So like a child, he just says what he needs, simply, humbly, honestly. He is a childlike receiver of the kingdom. And Bartimaeus is the heir of kingdom dividends, now and then. Do you remember Jesus said, you'll receive back blessings in this life a hundredfold, and in the future, eternal life? Well, we see Bartimaeus as one such recipient, right? In this life, he receives back his sight, and he joins the congregation. Off he goes with those following Jesus. But in this encounter, he also finds salvation. Jesus says, "Go on your way. Your faith has made you well." But that little phrase, "your faith has made you well," it carries the sense of your faith has rescued you, saved you. There's a bit of a double meaning here. And we know that this is the case. Bartimaeus calls Jesus the Son of David. That's this messianic title. Bartimaeus believes. He's physically blind, but he spiritually sees. He knows this is the Messiah. He calls Jesus Rabbi, which in the Greek is actually a little bit more stronger term, Rabboni, which is like master and teacher. So he has the faith in Jesus. And then as he's healed, what does he do? He follows Jesus. So Jesus looks at him and he says, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." It's both rescued you from physical blindness, but it's also rescued you from sin and death and punishment. So Bartimaeus is this kingdom heir who receives both in this life and in the future life, eternal life with Jesus. And finally, Bartimaeus is the treasure finder of costly discipleship. As I just said, the last we see of Bartimaeus is him walking off with Jesus. And it's this beautiful scene. One commentator pointed out that when we meet him, he's by the road. He's beside the road. And one of the last things we read about him is he's on the road. Right? He's stuck. He's in a rut. It's symbolic of his life. He meets Jesus. And we see him now back in the way. Back on the road of life. Back on the journey with Jesus. And we see through this really the beauty of the exchange. We've been hearing all these difficult, hard sayings that Jesus has put to us, but we see in Bartimaeus as he leaves now alive, free, walking after Jesus, we see the treasure that comes when we follow Jesus. Jesus in Matthew 13 describes the kingdom of God like a treasure that's been hidden in a field. And then somebody discovers this field has a treasure hidden in it, and they gladly go and sell everything they have that they might buy the field because they see this is the better exchange. There's this incredible thing hiding here in the field. So of course, I'll gladly go sell whatever I can to get this field with this treasure in it. He says the kingdom of God's like that. Once you see it for what it is, you'll say, well, of course, I'll gladly exchange all this to get that. And Bartimaeus gives us a picture of that. We see Bartimaeus is kind of the everyman. We are all kind of that blind beggar in need of rescue. Physically, spiritually, we're in need of rescue. And we see that everything that Jesus has been teaching, when he says, hey, do this, leave behind this, it's all been a reasonable, expensive exchange that we might have him and the kingdom and salvation and healing. And Bartimaeus kind of plays this out for us in living color. And we look at what Bartimaeus leaves behind, and we look at what he receives, and we say, well, that is a wonderful exchange. That's a wonderful return on investment. So he shows us really the treasure that comes with costly discipleship. So we may say, do I really have to do all these things, right? Do I really have to stay married? Do I have to become a servant of all? Do I really have to surrender all my possessions to Jesus? Do I really have to become last? The answer is yes. But all of that is just a forsaking of a broken life to come and follow Jesus and find treasure. Bartimaeus plays that out for us. C.S. Lewis said that it's like we're kids playing in a mud puddle And we just have no idea what we're being invited to. A parent saying, come on, let's go to the beach. You say, no, I can't imagine. I'm having so much fun with this mud puddle. And we just have no idea what we're being invited to. Here we see the mud puddle. Jesus is asking us to walk away from a life of spiritual blindness, from brokenness, to go and follow him. We're seeing what the beach is, healing, welcoming to his congregation, life eternal. So Bart is the treasure finder of costly discipleship. Now we're running out of time. I'm going to skip two pages. I want to end with looking at Jesus. So Bartimaeus is a wonderful example. And again, let me just commend to you just the story. Jesus often decides not to give us a declarative statement, but to give us a picture. We talked about this a couple weeks ago with receiving the kingdom like a child. Rather than saying exactly what he means, he'd rather give us the image that you might think on it, because that image just keeps doing work. You can just keep thinking on it. And I would tell you, the story of Bartimaeus is a picture for us of our condition, of what it looks like to be a good disciple. It's really simple. It's really accessible. It's really practicable. You can be Bartimaeus. And I would encourage you to think about his example and to be Bart. Be Bartimaeus, right? Can you cry out in desperation? Great, then you can do this. Can you be honest in your need? Then great, just do that. Be Bartimaeus. Do you have to be a John the Baptist or a Paul or an Elijah to be the perfect disciple? No, you just got to be like Bartimaeus. Be honest in your need. Cry out to Jesus. Don't be denied. Jesus, have mercy on me. So, think on this example, and I wish I had more time to tease it out, but we'll stop there. Now, I want to end then with looking at Jesus. We're going to pause Mark here this Sunday, and next week we're going to start a new series. Excited about that. It's going to be called Habits of Grace. We're going to be looking at practical ways we can really grow in our experience of God's grace in our lives. So that'll be kind of our summer series. So we're going to pause it here. But as we pause Mark, I want to take one good, long, last look at Jesus. And I want to invite you one final time as we head into the summer to meet Jesus and follow Jesus. Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Did you get that? Jesus is the exact imprint of God. We see in Jesus what God is like. So what is God like as we see him in Mark 10, as we see him with Bartimaeus? Well, he is a beautiful Savior. And I want you just to, you don't have to literally close your eyes, but almost just take a moment just to picture Jesus in this scene. On a crowded street, overflowing with noise, Jesus hears the cry of his sheep. In a room like this today, he sees you and hears you. If he can hear Bartimaeus, he can hear you. On his way to Jerusalem, we didn't have time to talk about this. He's on his way to Jerusalem to meet the cross. He stops to help a friend. So look, he's interested in your life and in your every detail of your life. He has time for you. To a down and outer, a nobody, Jesus calls, come to me. Today he still calls those who are listening. To a beggar on the roadside, Jesus engages in a conversation. What would you have me do? He humanizes the man. He dignifies the man. What would you have me do for you? Today, Jesus takes you seriously. He asks, what would you have me do for you today? And how does he respond to messy, noisy, desperate people? He feels deep compassion. How would he respond to you today if you came to him in your desperation and your brokenness? With great compassion. And as we see with Bartimaeus, as he joins the congregation following Jesus, there's always room for one more. You can get in on this today. There's always room for one more. So as we wrap up our time in Mark for a little while, as we conclude this passage, just ask, do you see this Jesus? Have you met this Jesus? Do you see him? The Son of David, the Messiah, the Rabbi, the teacher, your God. Have you seen him? I hope you have.